After telling him he'll be remembered for murdering and maiming innocent people, a federal judge has sent convicted Boston Marathon bomber Jahar Tsarnaev on the path to death row. Before sentencing, Tsarnaev surprised many in federal court by offering an apology. WBUR's David Boeri was there.
The words were a formality, but a stark one. I sentence you to the penalty of death by execution, intoned Judge George O'Toole. And with that, death row became the official destination of Jahar Tsarnaev, 2 years and 2 months after he and his brother triggered two bombs at the marathon finish line. U.S. Attorney Carmen Ortiz calls the outcome gratifying.
In that courtroom, I felt proud that not just to be a Bostonian, but also to be an American, because you heard a number of victims say, not only are we Boston strong, but we are America strong.
The theatrical symbols were striking. Most extraordinary was the sight of 11 of the 12 jurors who just a month ago had condemned Tsarnaev to death. They were seated in the jury box. The judge took pains to note the former jurors had no official role, that he had invited them to come back as individuals, and that they were sitting there in the box in almost exactly the same order as they had for 5 months because there was no other place to seat them. Several times the judge said the jurors had affirmed his contention before the trial that he would find a fair jury when the defense was calling for the trial to be moved elsewhere. 24 victims delivered impact statements, and though they were not supposed to express their views on the death penalty, some, like the father of murder victim Crystal Campbell, told them, "You did the right thing." The impact statements reflected a range of emotions, from unbridled anger to sorrow, resentment, and despair of those whose lives had been physically, psychologically, and financially shattered. Moments of grace lit a room whose four corners seemed draped with death. Victim Joseph J.P. Craven expressed hope that Tsarnaev is remorseful. Referring to young jihadis and would-be jihadis, Craven observed, "As ironic as it seems, Jahar now possesses the opportunity to be a force of change in the lives we cannot reach." Indeed, the one surprising moment of the day came when the defendant, whose voice had never been heard at the trial, rose to address the court. "In the name of Allah, I'm sorry for the lives that I've taken, for the suffering that I've caused you, for the damage I've done, irreparable damage." In a soft, accented voice, Tsarnaev said, "I pray for your relief, for your healing, for your well-being, for your strength." But his statement brought a sharp rejoinder from victims.
I talked at first about Allah and this being the month of forgiveness, implying that we should all forgive him,
said Lynn Julian of Boston. What was explicitly missing from his statement was a repudiation of the political screed Tsarnaev had written in the boat in a Watertown backyard. "You are fighting men who look into the barrel of your gun and see heaven. How can you compete with that?" he had written. Again, Lynn Julian.
"And I regret having ever wanted to hear him speak, because what he said showed no remorse, no regret, and no empathy for what he's done to our lives."
We are Boston strong and American strong, and choosing to mess with us was a terrible idea, said Rebecca Gregory directly to Tsarnaev. "You and your brother have lost." The ring and the reference to Boston Strong, the reinforcing symbols of the jurors at their old places, and the passionate victim impact statements suggested that victims and the prosecution had shared a common purpose to secure the death penalty. Nowhere in the day was there the expression of opposition to the death penalty that some victims had taken to the U.S. Attorney and to the U.S. Attorney General. If they had not known beforehand, jurors and victims heard defense attorney Judy Clark reveal that the defense had offered a guilty plea long before the trial started that would have resulted in Tsarnaev going to prison for the rest of his life without parole and with an apology, all of which the government turned down. Outside the courthouse, the U.S. attorney said that Clark's statement was not completely accurate, but said no more. In the courtroom, and quoting Anthony DeBrutis, the judge told Tsarnaev, "The evil that men do lives after them. The good is oft interred with their bones." Bones, a grim reminder of what this day was all about and where Tsarnaev is headed. What will be remembered of you, O'Toole said, is the evil you have done. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm David Boeri at the Federal Courthouse in Boston.